Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Saturate today. It's so good to have you on the program. This is going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day because we got a first. Something happened in the first time today, and that is we got the very first song on the project that we've been working on, Crossroads Gospel Singers, and it's featuring my son-in-law, Mel Parnell. And I want to talk about him because I like talking about him. But the boy wasn't raised to sing in a group. Now, he sang in the shower. I told him, if I got to pour water on you now, so we're going to have a problem. But he does a great job on this song. Let me introduce this song to you. It's one that's probably been made more famous by the Gaither Vocal Band than anything else. And I know you'll recognize it. Mel does a great job. And the whole group is called John the Revelator.
John the Revelator.
Here it goes. What about that? There you go. And that's my daughter, his wife, Michael Ann Parnell, catching that lead on the end there. And of course,
J.D. Sumner in there.
All right, listen, let's get to it and quit all that. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Today's message is going to be about what the gospel is not. So let's tell you what the gospel is. It's really simple. The gospel is best given to us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And if you'll look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." And of course, the rest of the story is the angels are sitting there and they're looking up in the heavens, you know. And for all those who think it's all a spiritual thing, and it's all spiritual, and it's spiritual, folks, they said, "What you looking in the heavens for? This same Jesus that has just been taken up from you just this way will return in the same way. He left bodily and he's coming back bodily, folks, and we're looking for him." And John the Revelator wrote about it, looking for the city of God. Hey, isn't that good? Well, listen here. Let's talk about this. So if that's the gospel, now let me just tell you about gospel. The word gospel back in the Bible day was not a new word. Jesus didn't come and create the word used in gospel. A gospel message was something pretty common in those days because it was what they used to advertise with. They didn't have the media we have. They didn't have radio. They didn't have TV. They didn't have internet. They did, you know, they could put signs up. But the best way that things got circulated, that was my word, was by word of mouth. And so that's what, anytime somebody was running for a political office of any kind, they would get a group of people to start off and get out and actually tell the gospel about that person, tell the good news. That's what it means. The word gospel is the word good news. And so they would go around telling the good news about this person that was going to be running for office, a political office of some kind. And they'd say, you know, here's the bloodline he came from. Here's his credentials. Here's his name. You know, he's from this country. He's from this area. All the good things that they could tell about this person so that you would obviously vote for them. Well, Jesus Christ also had believers, we call them disciples, that went around telling the good news about Jesus Christ. And I just read to you what Paul said about the good news of Christ. So that is the gospel in simplicity. That's exactly what it is, and it's not any more complicated than that. It's his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and subsequent ascension to the Father. That's the gospel message. That's what you believe in order to be made right with God and obviously saved from hell. I know that we have been guilty. I've been guilty of packaging a message and saying, here's the gospel, and it contained more than that. And folks, we don't want to do that. And I've learned something, so I've got to go back and you know, once you get some light, you got to start walking in the light you have. And so let's talk about this a little bit further. Let me play the commercial real quick, and we'll be right back. Hold on.
SaturateNow.com. If you'll go to that website, you can get information about Crossroads Gospel Singers, where we're going to be. You can even book our group if you'd like. You can also get radio content for this Saturate program. You can even download music as well. The site is under construction, so keep coming back to see what changes have been made. If you desire to make a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, SaturateNow.com is the place to go. Thanks for your generous support of the ministry. God bless you.
Okay, so if you haven't accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know you have an advantage today because you don't have any of this religious garbage hanging on you. You're getting it fresh from the Bible. You know what the gospel message is you need to believe in order to be made right with God and saved from hell. All right, but listen, to those who have been in church, been in the way for a long time, like I have, you've probably been in a service where, you know, it was proclaimed that we're going to preach the gospel. We're preaching the gospel at this church. And then part of the message would be, now folks, you need to come to this altar and you need to repent. Or you need to get baptized, or you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, and we're preaching the gospel, folks. That's not the gospel. Now, don't misunderstand me. Those are wonderful responses, and I would say they're responsible responses. Is that good to say? Anyway, to the gospel. The gospel is simply the message we just told you. His life, his death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. That's the gospel. And then when we have that preached to us, we do respond in ways of repentance. But listen to this. Listen to this. The gospel is not man's response to it. The gospel is not about what man does, but rather what Christ has already done. Faith and repentance are the proper responses to the gospel. but neither faith nor repentance are part of the gospel. The response demanded by the gospel is not the gospel. The gospel is not simply calling people to make a decision. Establishing man's alienation from God and his need of the gospel is not the gospel. Calling people to repent of their sins and to trust in Christ is true and necessary, but neither is it the gospel. Calling on people to obey and live upright moral lives is not the gospel. The distinction between the content of the gospel and its demands must be kept utterly distinct. To confuse one's duty with the gospel is to leave the impression that the essence of the gospel in the Christian faith is what a man does rather than what God does in Christ. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 5:19. The gospel is not the new birth. People often hear preachers telling people, you must be born again. However, this is neither the gospel nor something man is capable of doing. Regeneration is the glory of God, amazing grace that reaches down and brings a dead heart to life. In regeneration, the grace of God enables the sinner to receive the rest in Jesus Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. It is therefore closely related to the gospel and faith, but it is not the gospel. The gospel is not the work of the Father or the Holy Spirit. God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three persons of the one Godhead are intimately involved in the gospel, but their roles are different. For example, the Father sends the Son, the Holy Spirit testifies of the Son, Christ, and baptizes believers. Yet while preaching of the Father's love and all the Holy Spirit's witness of Christ in men's hearts are all true and necessary for the gospel to be the gospel, they are not in and of themselves the gospel, but rather fruits of the gospel. D.A. Carson provides the following helpful summary concerning the importance of understanding what is not the gospel. He says, by contrast, the first two great commandments, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, do not constitute the gospel or any part of it. We may well argue that when the gospel is faithfully declared and rightfully received, it will result in human beings more closely aligned to these two commands. But they are not the gospel. Simply, the gospel is not receiving Christ or believing in him or being converted or joining a church. It is not the practice of discipline or discipleship. Once again, the gospel faithfully declared and rightly received will result in people receiving Christ, believing in Christ, being converted, and joining a local church, but such steps are not the gospel. The Bible can exhort those who trust the living God to be concerned with the issues of social justice. It can tell New Covenant believers to do good to all human beings, especially to those of the household of faith. It exhorts us to remember the poor and to ask not who is my neighbor, but whom I am serving as my neighbor. We may even argue that some such list of moral commitments is a necessary consequence of the gospel, but it is not the gospel. We may preach through the list, reminding people that the Bible is concerned to tell us not only to believe, but how to live. But we may not preach through that list and claim it encapsulates the gospel. Failure to distinguish between the gospel and all the effects of the gospel tend, on the long haul, to reduce the good news as to what God has done with a moralism that is finally without the power and the glory of Christ crucified, resurrected, ascended, and reigning. Folks, the simplicity of the gospel is that Jesus lived the life you and I could never live. He died the death. Thank God we don't have to die now. He was buried, and the burial is significant because it's proof that he died. He was resurrected in proof that we will be resurrected as well. And he's ascended to the Father, making intercession for us so that we can live in communion with him and his Spirit today. Folks, that's good news. If you haven't accepted Christ, do so today and join a group of people that are trouble-free. Oh, absolutely not. But we know in whom we've trusted, and he's able to keep that which we've committed to him against that day. God bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.